It's 104.9 The X here, Jackson, hanging out in a busier studio than normal here. Now, normally it's just me talking to four walls and a microphone and hoping something goes in someone's car radio, but I've actually got company here today in the Raven Age. Five guys in here that just got done playing a song. We're going to hear that towards the end. But guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Let's go one by one here because we've got four mics set up. Just everybody introduce themselves.
Yeah, yeah. I'm Tony. I'm the guitarist.
I'm Matt, and I'm the singer.
I'm Jai, and I'm the drummer.
I'm the second Matt, and I'm the bass player.
I'm George, and I'm the other guitarist.
Well, we appreciate you guys being in here. Once again, thank you so much. And you guys have been all over the place here recently, playing a show in Vegas, and you're kind of making a radio tour right now. A lot of miles being put on the bus, a lot of miles being put on the van. How's that holding up?
We did have a blowout, but luckily that was early on. We've got
a tire that's well on its way out.
Yeah, we've got another tire that's on its way out. We've done a lot of miles, but it's holding up at the moment. We've given it a name. We've called it Chad. Chad Chevy the van. So he's great. He hasn't killed us yet. So that's a plus.
Why the name Chad?
To be honest, we were doing an American tour. We thought we needed to try and give it an American name, and Chad came out, and Chad Chevy had a bit of a ring to it because it's a Chevy Express.
In the UK, it's called Wayne.
So yeah,
our old split that we used to use is called Wayne. He's been called Wayne for forever.
Is that retired now? Is that out of commission?
Retired. Yeah, he is retired now. Yeah.
To Betty.
Yeah, Betty's also.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we've got Betty. We've got a whole crew here.
Yeah.
We got a fleet.
You guys have a
fleet. Buses.
Betty was an old library bus that we bought that me and George stripped out and converted into a tour bus. So, but that's also been retired now.
Wow.
Yeah, we're onto the proper ones, which is nice.
So, with all the miles that you guys are traveling, I mean, how do you pass the time? How do you keep yourself from falling asleep every 5 minutes down
that
the road?
That is the trick.
George?
Good question.
The lads do a great job of just keeping quiet and not helping the driver stay awake.
We have an agreement. Me and George have got an agreement that when, because it's only us two that are driving, so if I'm driving and he's in the passenger seat, he's allowed to sleep, that's fine, and it's like vice versa. But these lot in the back, you know, kind of depend on them to keep his company, but they don't.
I've got the whole back row, so I just sleep the whole time.
I know I'm playing Zelda most of the time on the Switch, so they get nothing out of me.
I tried a couple of quizzes for about an hour.
Naming capital cities. No, like just naming countries, wasn't it? Yeah.
Countries.
That got boring
with the
quickly.
Alphabet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you able to play the Switch with anyone else then, or is it just everybody's?
No, no one else has bought one, so I'll just play it on my own.
When you get done with a show then, is it one of those things where you just want to wind down whenever you're traveling somewhere, or do you cut out the music then? Is it just completely just nap on the way wherever?
Well, obviously we're doing the radio stuff, so this is like a new thing to us because we do a few radio performances and interviews earlier on in the day, and then we've got the rest of the day to either travel or go back to the hotel, you know, do something, go out to dinner, that kind of thing, which is nice because it's a little bit of a change from when we tour. It's usually you play the gig, onto the bus you go, and everyone's either in their bunk or in the little lounge thing, and you just that's kind of your life. You just, it's a everyday Groundhog Day kind of thing, and it's a shame because you don't really get to see much of the places you're playing. And we did that last year in America. We did it was all in a tour bus, and all we saw was the inside of a bus into the inside of a venue. So it's
the times that you're awake, though.
It is like time goes slowly. The good thing about this run is because we're all doing it from a van, it's been an amazing road trip. So we started off in LA and Vegas, and we've just kind of been making our way across the country, and we've actually got to see a lot of these amazing places, which is a real nice change.
Is there anything you're making a mental note of where you'd like to go and visit again?
There's been some huge like surprises. Like there was parts of Wyoming that were just unbelievable. When we went to we tried to do the touristy stuff, like we went to Death Valley when we came through Nevada, Lake Tahoe, which was stunning, and then we also went to Mount Rushmore and did stuff like that. So we've really kind of made the most out of the trip, albeit a working one. You know, let's try and see as much as we can while we're here.
One with more daylight, at least.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So the album Conspiracy is out now. It's been out for a little bit here, guys. That's Matt's and Tony's first with the band here. For those unfamiliar, I just want to catch some people up here. Matt, it sounded like you kind of met everybody at the right time.
Yeah. I mean, I've known these guys a few years before I joined the previous band that I was in. We did some shows together, and when that kind of came to an end, it just so happened to coincide with them parting ways with their previous singer. So it was a really weird coincidence of timing. You know, it was just everything kind of happened just right for us to kind of start working together, and it was nice, and it all came about very quickly. And then before I knew it, we were writing and tracking the Conspiracy album, and a couple of years later, here we are.
And Tony, did it happen for you as well, same time, right around the band?
I think it was about a year before, yeah, something like that. So I'd known these guys for a little while, and on the first album, I got invited to do some like backing screams on a track called My Revenge. And that's kind of how it all came about. I think it might have been Dan at the time, or George saw a video on Facebook of me kind of playing, and then before I knew it, I was invited to play a tour, and kind of haven't looked back since.
Anthrax
really.
Tour, wasn't it, your first one? Anthrax, yeah. In Europe, yeah.
Yeah, Tony depped for us for like, I think he depped for three tours, didn't you? For
two,
Dan,
I think, yeah.
Two tours. He stepped in for our old guitarist, and then obviously
both of them. We told him he was not coming back at the end of it. Just for a
lot. Yeah, it was so funny.
So you've gotten to develop a little bit of a relationship beforehand, but Matt, being a little bit newer, how long did it take you to actually gel with the rest of the guys and get to know them a little bit?
Initiation, I think.
From my perspective, not really long at all. It was the thing that was so kind of brilliant about it. It all felt very right from the start, like from the first kind of jam session we did. Because obviously I'm a very, very different style of singer to their previous guy. I'm more kind of like a traditional rock singer. And, you know, it was weird. I didn't think it was going to work at first with the heavy music. But it seems to make this really nice combination that I haven't really heard before, and it all just seemed to work. Like, it was always what ifs when it came round to doing things like how we're going to work together when it comes to doing recording, how we're going to work together when it comes around to touring. But it all worked. There was no forcing myself really to try and do something. It was all very natural. So
you mentioned the rock singer part, the melody, it shines. I mean, there's certainly layers that are added upon the vocals, but when everything comes together, the way that I listen to music sometimes, the way that I listen to newer music is just trying to figure out how it all begins. Do you guys just start with a jam? Is it about lyrics? What's that process like?
I think everyone's different really, isn't it?
It's
really
a mixed bag.
Yeah, it's kind of, usually, for me anyway, it would always start with the music, like a riff, or if you've got like a chord progression or something like that, you just sort of kind of get a bit of a vibe for it, and we'd usually jam it together, and then I generally would then put vocal melodies on top of that, and then lyrics always come last. But that's always for me. I mean, you know, I don't know if everyone else kind of does it differently. I think
it's pretty much the same. I mean, Occasionally you get a melody idea, which is interesting, that's rare though. You know, there was once upon a time many, many years ago, there was a cool phrase that I liked and built a song around that. But you know, it's mainly the way George said, starts off with a riff and then you go from there.
And George, for those unaware, of course, you've been connected to the metal scene for pretty much all of your life. Your father, Steve, is an Iron Maiden, of course. You were able to tour with them recently, guys. What was that like?
It was amazing. Yeah, we toured them a couple of times, and it was strange. Like, because obviously we toured with them in Europe, which was one of the first big tours I did with these guys. And it's strange because it's one of the hardest jobs, I think, being a support band for Iron Maiden, because nobody else is there apart from Iron Maiden. They've got a fan base onto their, you know, it's so unique. They're so passionate. And as far as they're concerned, you are there to stop them from getting to see Iron Maiden. So it's a daunting thing, but they asked us back to do the American tour because I think we're one of the few bands they've had that actually went down well with a Maiden audience, which was really nice to see. And we've been wanting to come over to the States for many years, and to get and do it and get the reception we got from a Maiden crowd was pretty awesome. And obviously it's quite a daunting thing as well. There's a lot of pressure, it's a big profile kind of thing, so you want to make sure you belong, and you want to make sure people know that you're worthy to be there kind of thing. So there's always that pressure in the back of your mind, and like I've said before, you have a great show one night and you think, great, that went well, but then you got to do it again, start from scratch on the next one, you know. So yeah, but it was an amazing experience.
And George, what advice have you received or maybe even just picked up just watching him throughout your life that's kind of stuck with you the most out of doing this?
Probably, I mean, if you know him, he's very kind of, he doesn't take him long to make decisions and stuff. He's very kind of headstrong, very focused. And I guess that's one of the things that I've picked up, or he's told me, is just be, you know, sort of true to yourself right from the start, kind of thing, with your style, your music. You kind of don't, you know, try and cater for anyone else type things. Like the bigger your band gets, the more people get involved, and the more you have to sort of fit in this hole and that hole and just kind of stick to your guns, basically. I think that's probably the best advice I've received.
We do something here every week. It's called Hit It or Quit It on our station. It's basically, we get a song that comes through and we're not really sure if the fans are going to like it sometimes. And then other times we got a pretty good idea, but we put it up there anyway just for a vote. And recently The Face That Launched 1,000 Ships was up there. And overwhelming success. People loved it, and we were cool. Able to play it and put it in. In that same vein, just getting to know you guys a little bit better here, we'll start with George. What's one thing you tried once and said never again?
The guitar.
Should have done.
One thing I tried once and said never again.
Oysters.
Oysters?
Yeah, probably going to be food related as
well. It's the only thing I can think of. Like, I've just gone, no way, never again. It's got to be food, yeah. That's
mine
gross.
It's mushrooms.
Mushrooms too?
Horrible.
Jai from way back there.
Anything else?
It's a tough one. Maybe root beer. I know it's an American thing, but I remember trying it once and I don't think I've had it since. It's
they don't have root beer in the UK? They don't?
You can find it, but I mean, it's just not very common.
It's not really a thing.
Yeah.
Really? I would say that it's not really that high up over here too. It's more of a Pepsi or Coke type thing. Yeah. Matt?
Yeah, it's probably food related to me. Well, drink related. I had a very, very bad experience on Jägermeister once. So I can't even, that aniseed kind of taste, smell, if I smell it, the gag reflex goes. I can't even look at it.
See, over here we put that and we mix that with Red Bull.
Red Bull, yeah. Jäger bombs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
lovely.
Just even thinking about
delicious.
It.
Delicious.
I'm with you on that.
Very bad experience.
I think for me, after the other day, it's got to be golf.
I was thinking that we took
Tony to a driving range, and that was interesting.
I think, yeah, I've kind of realised that it's not my calling at all.
Yeah, trouble.
That was
great.
Funny.
I was good at swinging nothing, and the ball just sitting there looking at me laughing.
We've got quite a few videos of Tony swinging at a ball, and he's just staying on the tee. It's brilliant.
I looked like Shooter McGavin trying to do the Happy Gilmore shot. That was it. Just literally just missing it every time, and just getting angry about it.
Was that yesterday?
That was a couple days ago.
Okay, because you guys were coming from Madison, so I wasn't sure if it was somewhere around here, just so if someone wants to see the divots on the driving range somewhere. Guys, and George, I mean, you've been here through the whole entire thing. What's the story behind the name, The Raven Age?
So the name's derived from the Ravens of the Tower of London. So there's a legend that if the Ravens ever leave or taken away or anything or fly away, then the British Empire will fall. So that's kind of where we developed the name The Raven Age. It's all about, and there is actually ravens there now, kept to this day, for that reason.
There was one born recently. There hasn't been a raven born in the Tower of London in over like 80 years or 90
something
years
like
or something
that,
like that. So
really?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they still have raven masters there and everything. And it's just, you know, it's a cool topic. We wanted to kind of develop the name into something we could tell a story with, and, you know, we can do stuff with the artwork. So it's not just telling stories in the songs. We've kind of, you know, do it with everything.
You guys are mostly influenced by metal, I imagine, and some rock music. Is there a guilty pleasure song or artist, non-metal related, that you're interested in or that you like?
One's Billie Eilish. I actually really like her at the moment. I think she's great.
Yeah? It's different.
Really, really good tunes.
They have her on.
She's not like a generic pop artist. She's a bit quirky and different.
Mine's Lionel Richie. I love a bit of Lionel.
That's great, though, isn't it?
I know. Is that a guilty pleasure? Really. He's so Lionel good. Rich,
all night long, Lionel? Yeah. Or?
All of Lionel.
You are Lionel.
For me, it'd probably be like someone like Neo or something. Like, I used to be into R&B and hip-hop and that when I was younger. So, yeah, that.
Jive.
I just listen to everything.
Taylor Swift.
He loves it.
But everybody says they listen to everything, though, right?
He genuinely does listen and love
some of the dross that he's got
just
on his
just sit in his car, you'll know.
Yeah.
He puts some songs on, we're like, this is rubbish. It's great.
If the payout was equal for both shows, everything else was the exact same, would you prefer playing in more of like an intimate small crowd area, small venue, or would you like to have a filled, packed stadium?
In between, yeah. I mean, what we try to do, our stage is what we our actual production thing, what we're trying to do is very, as grand as we can possibly do it. You know, we like to put on a big show, a rock show, and we've ended up doing that in quite small places, which is, you know, the one we did in London. We brought all the bells and whistles with us, and you know, that's what we want to do, is put on this big theatrical show as much as we can. So obviously a bigger stage helps that and makes that easier, but as I said we've managed to do it in smaller places.
The album sounds great, guys. Just a couple more questions here. We'll start with George. What makes you most proud of the Raven Age?
Probably myself. No, I mean, it's, you know, the talent in the guys, I think. Like, the fact, you know, we can strip stuff back and do it totally acoustically, and everyone can still nail it, and the consistency and everyone, and basically the fact that we all sort of get on so well. We spent like 5 months on the road last year, and we're still here. We're not arguing and stuff like that. You know, I mean, it's good fun is the main thing.
Do you guys look ahead at all? Is there anything like where you want to be 2-3 years from now, or next album cycle from here? Is there anything like that, or are you guys just kind of taking it all in, living in the moment?
There's an end goal, an end target that we're aiming for, but I don't think any of us ever look at a timeline and say, we need to be at this point by this, you know, within a year we have to be doing this, because I think it's all just, we're all about...
Subjective, like, as well,
yeah,
isn't
we're
it?
We're all about organic growth, do you know what I mean? We don't want to just thrust ourselves out there and be this big flash in the pan band that's gone in 5 minutes. I think we'd rather sort of take our time and build a loyal fan base that's going to stick with us over the, you know, the duration of our career. I don't think there's any timeline on where we want to be,
The goalposts will always move as well. Like, you think you've reached something, but then of course there'll be something else you want to gain for, and that's what it's about. You know, you should never rest on your morals. I think as soon as you do that, you're dead in the water. I think that's so many bands have done that in the past, and it's just not a healthy thing, I think, for creative bands and creative process. You know?
Is there another album that's being worked on, or is there another tour that's being planned out?
Yeah, we're actually, as soon as we get back into England, we're hitting the studio for album number 3. Conspiracy reached its 1 year anniversary the other day, and the way that the industry is, we've got to kind of keep the ball rolling, and, you know, we actually started working on that a lot before it, you know, came out. So it's actually, these songs have been with us for quite a while, actually. So from our perspective, so we're getting back in the studio, doing some new material, and hopefully going to have that out beginning of next year, maybe. Yeah, I think that's the plan. Yeah,
whatever's organic, really.
Exactly.
But the album Conspiracy, I highly recommend to those listening to go and check it out. It just sounds, it's phenomenal, guys.
Thank you very much.
Great job.
Cheers.
On that.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you when you come back around in the States. Please, would love to have you back anytime here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
It's Jackson here with Raven Age. And now we're going to hear some music that you already played, but with Radio Magic, it's going to happen coming up next year.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
Creation will suffer till we're saved. Can you given one way. There's nowhere to run. I'm worrying, this time I'll never heal. I'm worrying, I'm worrying, this world's standing still. Time on my own, with the days merging as one. Time on my own, this time I'll never reel. Wash away the fear that I can seem to get out my mind. Every day another fight, I'm in the dark and begging for light. As time goes on, I feel more afraid. Another reminder I cannot change his fate. Everything that I've done, I've done for us, and now I'm suffering and paying for it. Right in this torment, I can't seem to get away. Everything that I've done, I've done for us, and now I'm suffering and paying for it. All bent to God in this life. Can't you see a sign from God that came to me? Maybe something to believe. It's all we really need. Have you lost your love? Have we given up? Watch as our homes are burned. The salvation I will return. Take a look around how we've fallen from grace. I am the hell to liberate them. Heresy defeats the uncrowned king. A savior peasant girls hold tight the fleur de lis. In the flesh he burns. can I fight for him? God has spoken to me. We must keep hope. This land we walk upon's our home. His kingdom's now a shadow of its past, and I condemn this game for thrones. Take a look around, all they needed was faith. And now our souls have all awakened. Come a seat, a feast, the uncrowned kings, our savior pairs and girls. Our future has